Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Global insurer Allianz Commercial just released its annual Directors and Officers Insurance Insights Report, highlighting the latest key risks in the D&O insurance market. I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and I'm speaking today to Jared Schlesinger, Global Head of Financial Lines and Cyber at Allianz Commercial. Jared, so glad you could join us today.
John, thank you so much for having me. Excited to get to talk about our report and to share what we, you know, our thoughts with the broader community.
And I'm looking forward to hearing all about it, Jared. And let's start with this. Are you seeing much of a demand for D&O policies that cover multi-jurisdictional risks and things like private local coverage?
Yeah, so we are seeing a growing demand for D&O policies as companies look to protect themselves on a local as well as a global level. We've seen regulatory bodies across the globe step up their scrutiny of corporate conduct. It's making D&Os more vulnerable to investigations, penalties, and lawsuits. So, you know, a lot of this goes hand in hand with things like ESG, where there's a sharper focus, which leads to potential liabilities for D&Os as they're held responsible for their company's actions. You know, especially with larger companies that do business around the globe, they need an international insurance solution. They want to protect their management and company interests around the globe. And, you know, there are some countries that require you to have local insurance taken out for you to be compliant on multiple levels. Other jurisdictions will allow you to use a master policy to be compliant in that country. But, you know, this is a reason why a lot of companies are spending a lot of time sort of determining what their risk factors are and what they want to buy or how they want to buy their insurance around the globe. You know, the other thing is, which is really important, is, you know, as the geopolitical landscape changes so much and is so dynamic in the current environment, whether it's the war in Ukraine, conflict in the Middle East or tensions between U.S. and China, you know, there's so much upheaval that can happen to a company. And some of it can happen very, very quickly. Think about things like supply chain issues or disruption, business interruption due to war and other issues, and legal and regulatory scrutiny that you can, you know, be faced with around the globe. So, you know, you can face a lot of issues relating to being non-compliant around the globe with international sanctions, failure to manage your risks in a political unstable region. And so, like, one of the things that's very important for companies to focus on is, you know, how are they thinking about these things and how are they focused on the issues that are happening around the globe and knowing that they can be held accountable for misjudging the impact of these developments. So buying a comprehensive global policy is really on the up and up for a lot of companies and on the forefront of their minds. It's also used as a hiring tool, right? A lot of companies and people don't want to sit on the boards of companies or be managers of companies if they don't know that they're going to be protected by local policies. So there's a lot of things at play here that really are driving the impact and the growing demand for D&O policies for large companies around the globe.
You know, Jared, we've been hearing for some time about AI inaccuracies where AI platforms will either hallucinate or just out and out lie. I understand that AI inaccuracy is a key cause for concern.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the accuracies are absolutely a cause of concern. I mean, one of the things that I think taking a little bit of a step back, AI is a potential game changer, right? For businesses, for people, for the economy, really globally. And I think we've barely scratched the surface of what the applications are for of AI. The one thing I do think I feel really confident saying is that it's here to stay. Right, we're in the early stages, and it presents many unknowns. But I really do believe we're in the early stages, and you know, whenever there's these levels of unknown or these levels of uncertainty, that absolutely creates issues and concerns for D&O underwriters. So inaccuracy is absolutely a key concern, and I think one of the biggest things is when you think about AI, it's really, you know, the old adage of garbage in and garbage out. So like, what are the inputs that you're putting into AI that helps you spit out the results? So, you know, if AI is trained on inaccurate or biased inputs, that's going to be reflected in the outputs you get from that AI. And then even well-trained AI can produce completely fabricated results, which are known as hallucinations. And so these hallucinations really can make for invalid and just completely false results. Forget like a little bit off, but think about completely off. A great example of this was in 2023, a couple of US-based lawyers were fined for submitting legal briefs in court when they were generated using AI-based tools, And they cited legal cases that just didn't exist whatsoever. So it wasn't like it was a wrong case or it was cited incorrectly, but the case didn't exist at all. So, you know, with the financial penalties and lawsuits and potential reputational damage that can result for AI transgressions, businesses need to be very, very careful about what they're doing with AI, how they're disclosing it, when they're disclosing it, to who they're disclosing it. And I think AI really needs to have the same level of board control as any other major area of concern. And really, when you think about the disclosure, it really has to have the same level of control as it would with any other public statement that a company makes. For one thing we do know is that AI-related litigation has been increasing. And since 2020, March of 2020, there's been 38 AI-related federal security claims filed in that time period up until October 2024. And there's been 13 so far in 2024. So not only is AI a game changer, but it's also a very big source for potential exposure and litigation.
So I got to assume then that there are risks for companies that exaggerate their involvement with AI one way or the other.
Absolutely. So we had this term that came up when with ESG that was called greenwashing. It was when companies were over-exaggerating what they were doing on the ESG front.
And now we have, remember, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure. But now we have what's called AI washing, which is basically the AI equivalent of greenwashing. And it's basically companies are saying that they're using AI maybe broader than they actually are, where they're involved in the AI business broader than they actually are. And the same way that ESG or greenwashing can lead to claims, this AI washing can absolutely lead to claims and enforcement actions as well. So, generally speaking, businesses that are involved in AI or making claims that they're using AI to conduct their businesses have had impacts to their stock to the positive. So these have been, quote unquote, high flying stocks, and investors see it as a competitive edge, and they're putting value in that. And so when it turns out that what you're saying you're doing related to AI isn't 100% accurate, or turns out to be less than you said it was, you really are opening yourself up to exposure. And when you think about it, in the U.S., we've seen at least 6 enforcement actions by the SEC against companies that overstate their AI capabilities. The SEC is warning that the basics of securities law still apply here. So you can't just be saying whatever you want just because it's AI related. You still have to be honest and truthful in your disclosures and in your marketing. And this isn't only a North American issue, right? We've seen class action lawsuits in China. There was an AI and robotics company that was overstating its AI capabilities and ended up in a lawsuit related to that. I think it's also the Federal Trade Commission in the U.S. has also expressed its intent to crack down on deceptive AI. Where companies are claiming or scheming that they've done more and bigger things with AI than they actually have. So there's been 5 law enforcement actions by the FTC in that regard. And even companies that have just like using buzzwords, just saying the right words related to AI have been subject to lawsuits. So this is an area, like I said earlier, where you really need to tread lightly.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
So the report notes that Allianz Commercial has seen D&O claims from unsecured creditors alleging breach of duty during insolvencies. What factors distinguish one company from another when faced with a bankruptcy filing?
Yeah, I think one of the things is, to go back a little bit, the rates of bankruptcy filings are growing in the U.S., but also globally. So, globally, we expect insolvencies for 2024 to rise by almost 11%. Countries, if you think about this, just to put it into some perspective, countries that account for more than half of the global GDP of the world are going to be hit with double-digit insolvency increases in 2024. So, that's according to research done by Allianz Trade. And so when you think about Allianz Trade, what we're expecting for the future, we're expecting 2% increases in 2025, and then in the U.S., and then globally. And then a bigger stabilization in 2026. I think, you know, when you to kind of put a sort of broader framework on this, yeah, that increase in these insolvencies put over 1.5 million jobs at risk in both Europe and North America alone. And when you think about the industries that are greatly impacted by some of these potential insolvencies, it's industries like construction, service sectors, retail, and those are really some of the most vulnerable. When in the U.S., again, Allianz Trade foresees the rise in insolvencies in 2025 to be up 12%. So still a pretty large increase in the U.S. in terms of insolvencies. And then actually it flattening out and actually decreasing pretty quickly in 26 with about a 4% decrease. So, you know, I think the question is, you know, why are these companies facing these insolvency issues and what's the story there? And, you know, a lot of times, you know, companies are facing higher interest expenses, right? We all hear about inflationary pressures, what that means. And you know, also when they're facing these broader macro and microeconomic headwinds that are impacting their businesses, it can be a really big struggle for them to service their debt load, especially for smaller companies. Another issue that's created some issues for some of these smaller companies is the phasing out of government support schemes around the globe that were a part of COVID and other things. So when you put together that sort of you know, increased borrowing cost, broader economic conditions that are troubling, and phasing out of government support, you know, you find yourself you can find yourself in some trouble from a solvency perspective. And of course, D&O risks are absolutely heightened during that time, right? So when a company goes through a potential insolvency, you know, there's a lot of folks who can make claims against them. It can be lenders who are bringing claims to recover the funds that they may have lost out on. It could be shareholders who may have lost some or all of their investment and are seeking to recoup some of that. And a lot of the allegations would be, you know, alleging breach of fiduciary duty. You know, basically it would say is that, you know, you didn't do what you were supposed to do as the company was approaching a difficult time, and that you failed to adequately prepare and disclose the challenges that your business was facing. So a lot of ways that the companies are getting into more trouble. And then I think, you know, the second part of your question, or the latter part of your question, was what differentiates one company from a different company. And I think it's a lot of that surrounds what the diligence they exercised as they strategized to account for the rising interest rates, the economy that was getting more and more difficult, and the steps that they took to weather those concerns. And so the better a company handled those issues, the better they disclosed them, the better that they weathered that storm, the real results from that bankruptcy are likely to be better. Businesses need to be mindful of what's going on in their world. They need to know what's happening in their workplace, what's happening with banks and regulators in their space, what's happening with elections and the political environment in their space. And you know, it's important. We're in a rapidly changing world, as I mentioned earlier, from so many levels, and companies need to remain watchful to really fare as best as possible during those difficult times.
So third-party finance providers in litigation, also known as litigation funding, is not without controversy. In fact, we did a webinar on that at AM Best not too long ago. From a D&O standpoint, how is third-party litigation funding likely to impact claims?
So generally speaking, I expect there to be more claims as a result of third-party litigation funding.
Would that be because there's going to be more litigation just as a result of third-party funding?
I think so, yes. I think when you think about some of the impediments to bringing a lawsuit, and we're not just talking about the U.S. now, just on a global perspective, you know, the cost of bringing litigation can be high. And so taking down some of the things that are the hurdles, like cost, certainly raise the potential of more litigation on a global basis. I think there's a bunch of ways to look at third-party litigation funding. When you think about it, it may benefit minority shareholders that don't always have access to the financial means to bring a claim. And this third-party litigation funding may provide that access to that capital to bring that. You know, some would argue that it brings better balance to the legal proceeding, so that, you know, you balance out the companies that are deep pockets and have a lot of expertise and knowledge versus smaller shareholders. And some would say that it provides a route to justice that may allow litigants to make claims that they may not have otherwise been able to get off the ground. So it's definitely likely to boost the number of claims, like we said at the outset. I think it's also going to increase the severity of them. And I think that we may see higher settlement results as a result of the litigation funding as well. Now, I think what's going to be interesting is these litigation funders, you know, this is an investment category for them. So they're looking to make a return. So I think you're only going to see litigation funders take claims that they really feel confident that they'll be able to get a return off of. And I think that's why you'll see sort of the increased severity coming from them. You know, to put litigation funding in perspective, the industry is expected to grow by an average of 8.7% CAGR between 2020 and 2028, which is pretty remarkable. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you, if you're a public company and you know, you're thinking about litigation funding, I absolutely would think of it as a growing exposure for you and a potential to increase your exposure to D&O claims.
So where do you see the D&O market headed in 2025?
Yeah. So when I think about it, the financial lines commercial business continues to be relatively soft. The market is absolutely relatively soft. And a lot of that comes from, you know, the simple supply and demand curve, right? When you think about, you know, how much D&O insurance is needed versus how much the supply is there, you know, the equation definitely is more supply, excuse me. So you drive, you know, pricing down. Rate continues to decrease, but with certain classes of business, we're starting to see it moderate. And, you know, that's I think this the beginning signs of a potentially changing market. So some of the biggest rate decreases that happened in early parts of 24 and years prior, they're beginning to moderate some. I think on the private and public company side, you know, I think we're starting to see, you know, the market moving more towards flat rates. One thing that does remain high is policy renewal retentions. You know, insureds are looking to keep their insureds, especially the best insureds. So we're not seeing so much of the business move necessarily, which obviously creates a lot of competition for the newest business that isn't already, you know, with an incumbent carrier. I think one of the things that's interesting is we really haven't seen much insurance buying behavior change throughout this market. I think we're really seeing most companies buy similar limits to what they had before. When you think about from a big company perspective, you know, we are seeing a couple that are saying, well, we saved this amount of money on our overall tower. Perhaps we should buy some additional limits, some maybe potential A-side additional limits, things along those lines. But, you know, with carriers in the financial line space seeing an increase in frequency and severity of claims, you know, the likelihood of a company being sued has increased for the first time since 2019. We're starting to see EPL claims on the private company front increase from, you know, moderately, but increase, I think, largely due to layoffs in certain sectors, returning to office, the great resignation, things along those lines. You know, so we're seeing, you know, an increase in the frequency and severity of claims. So those are the kind of things we would start to think about changing the market a little. I think we're at the early stages of that, but I think we're going to start seeing a moderation in 25. And one thing to note, though, is, you know, the average settlement for public companies was $37 million in 2023, which is a pretty big increase over the 10-year average of just under $30 million. And the median settlement for the same time period went from $9.5 to $13 million. So, you know, the cost of this litigation is growing. The one thing I will say, though, is, you know, as we see the economy improving some, as we see a change in the political landscape, I think there's an opportunity for more M&A activity, IPO activity, which may create new businesses. It's also on the private company sector as interest rates go down. You know, you may see more business creation, which could help alleviate some of the demand issue that I talked about at the outset.
Regardless, sounds like it's a good time to be a trial lawyer, or Jared.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Hey, no, thank you for, you know, the opportunity, and it's great to have the opportunity to chat with you. Thank you.
That was Jared Schlesinger, Global Head of Financial Lines and Cyber at Allianz Commercial, and I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.